Hello and welcome back to That Haunted Show. I hope we're all keeping well. I've basically been writing a little short story. It's not finished yet. I've really been feeling like some lake house horror kind of thing. I think it was just over Halloween. I've just kind of been digging it. So my short story should take up about half an hour of this episode. So yeah, it's not like a full length one, but I found a few other good stories which are related to kind of your lake house horror. So we'll be going through them as well. So we can get this up to a full-length episode, and I will be working on this story some more. Also, we have the YouTube Lives coming soon, so if you are not subscribed to the YouTube, make sure you are, because they're going to be fun. Basically, I want to put the Monday Night News onto YouTube, so yeah, make sure you don't miss it. You can subscribe, and then, I don't know, whatever you do on YouTube, ring the bell so it tells you when I'm going live or some shit, but I will post it on the Instagram anyway. If you could leave a review anywhere you listen, Apple Podcasts is the best personally for me, and there is a direct link in my Instagram bio. I'm just kind of working on promoting at the moment, and yeah, turns out that really is the best way of promoting. So, yeah, I'm not asking for a 5-star review, but if you want to leave 5 stars, I'm just saying that'd be really helpful. But, yeah, wherever you listen, a review really does help us out and kind of puts us in the right direction to find people. We are doing the TikTok and Reels. They will be coming out every other day, so I hope you guys have been liking them and interested in them. They seem to be getting quite a lot of engagement, so yeah, I hope you guys are enjoying it. I kind of like doing them because I can kind of research and just find out a load of things almost immediately. And yeah, it's quite nice little minute sections. I kind of really enjoy it. Also, I have a very, very, very limited run of Christmas merch coming up soon. I don't know what it's going to be yet. I just kind of had this idea today. And hopefully, you guys are going to like it. Hopefully. Fingers very... toes fucking crossed, everything. What else have I got in these endless notes? Fuck. Also, what do you guys want to hear next? I am not struggling for topic ideas, but yeah, I'm struggling for topic ideas. So do let me know what you want to hear. Also, we do have more collabs coming soon, and if you yourself have any scary stories or any kind of weird, just bizarre paranormal stories, and you actually want to either let me know them and I can read them out, or you can just come on the show and we can talk about them and, yeah, have some fun with it. It would be good to kind of get more people on here chatting. It will be interesting. So without further ado, I suppose we should get into the first story, which is my story. It so far does not have a name. I'm just calling it Lake House Draft. But here we go. The lake house. Fuck. I've started it wrong already. I hope this isn't a sign of things to come. Jesus. Right, here we go. Again, take two. The lake house. Take three. The lake was beautiful. Fuck. The lake was beautiful. Just how the sunlight reflected off the surface looked like a thousand glistening eyes. It truly was a stunning day. The spring air was refreshing, and winter seemed to last forever this year. Gone were the days of staying inside or wearing endless layers just to pop into the store. It was actually, well, warm. People were camping with their families, dogs were running around joyfully springing with each stride they took. Lizzie had always loved this place, the woodland, the open space, the memories. Granted, it was a long journey just to be here for a weekend, but it was worth it. It was just her and her best friend, Britt. After having a bite to eat and admiring the lake, they agreed it was time to go. It wouldn't be long until sunset, and the path down to the lake house was not well lit. Well, not lit at all, in fact. So off they went, grabbing their backpacks out the car and a few other belongings. Lizzie tied up her ankle boots, adjusted her maroon hoodie, flicking locks of auburn hair out of her face as she bent over. "Which way is it?" Britt asked, almost gleaming with excitement. They both needed this break, Brittany more so. She is the whole reason they decided to take this trip in the first place. She had just broken up with her boyfriend of 4 years. The guy broke her heart. Turns out he wasn't the lover for her life, she thought he was. He was the love of about 12 other girls' lives. It's over this way, hold up. Britt was about 10 feet ahead of her, following a dirt track engulfed by a canopy of twisted trees. They arrived at the house before the sun finally set, giving the whole place a warm red hue. The house was a modest log cabin, almost as long as it was wide. Large glass windows and bifolding doors opened up onto a wooden deck area. Atop the deck stood a few tables and chairs, sun lounges, a barbecue, and most importantly, a jacuzzi. A few creaky steps down the decking, and you were basically out into the middle of the lake. A little canoe was moored up, bobbing up and down rhythmically. The wind picked up, causing the trees to sway viciously and goosebumps to appear on Lizzie's exposed legs. Her short denim shorts did little to keep her warm, but she didn't care. They made her look great. God, I forgot how beautiful this place is. How come you don't come here more often? Britt asked as she leant her back against the fencing on the deck, hearing it creak cautiously. It's just a long drive, you know, and I wouldn't want to come here by myself. The place gives me the creeps at night. The two girls sat inside and spread out on a couch, eating popcorn and watching some terrible B-list horror movie. Something about a zombie beaver on a rampage. There were a few jump scares, but all in all, it made them laugh more than anything. The movie was interrupted by the rumbling of Britt's stomach. Was that you? Lizzie laughed. Yeah, I mean, we haven't eaten since we stopped at the lake. That was only like a few hours ago. Yeah, well, I'm a growing girl, okay? Britt, you're 26. The two girls giggled in hysterics before opening another bottle of wine and ordering a pizza. Time passed slow. It always seems to pass slower when you're waiting for food, especially when you're that hungry. They had to call around 4 or 5 different pizza places before they finally found one that could deliver this far out of the way. Luckily, they said they'd be there in under 30 minutes. The movie was ending to a pretty poor climax. If anything, you couldn't say the film was not entertaining. Maybe just not the way the director expected it to be. It was nearly pitch black outside now. You could just see the vast expanse that was Lake Erie. It almost lived up to its pronunciation. Looking out to that endless darkness, it was indeed very eerie. It made you feel that you really were out in the darkness alone. Distance from all society, outside of these four walls. A loud, startling vibration reverberated through the cabin, causing the two girls to jump almost into each other's arms. They looked around, noticing it was their phone on the coffee table vibrating on the surface. It was the pizza company. The two girls laughed it off, and Britt picked up the phone and putting on her official phone voice as she always did when someone called. Making her sound extremely professional and reeking of administrational work. Hello, is this 112 Sunset Lodge? It's Mike from Average Joe's Pizza. I followed the maps on my phone, but I can't find your place anywhere. Hey, yeah it is. Oh really? Whereabouts are you now? Well, I just got to the lake. I'm parked next to a red pickup. It's telling me to go on further, but there is nowhere else I can go. It's just forest. Oh, that's our pickup, don't worry, you're near. There should be a small dirt track almost opposite to you. There's an opening in the trees, you just follow that all the way up. It kind of curves and takes you back onto the lake, and then you're here. Lizzie rolled her eyes. Typical, another delivery guy who couldn't be bothered to find the right address. There is no dirt path, I've got my full beams on, and there is nowhere else around. Just back the way I came. What? Britt sighed and passed the phone to Lizzie. Explain to this pizza guy where your creepy ass cabin is, please. After an extremely long-winded conversation that went absolutely nowhere, the two girls realized it was useless trying to convince this guy on where to go. He was either too scared to go down the dirt road or just plain stupid. They threw on their jackets, picked up the torch off the sideboard, locked up the cabin doors and decided to trek down the path. It was eerily silent outside. The wind had finally died down now. It was like one of those moments in your typical horror movie when it was just too quiet. Britt began talking anxiously, her go-to defense mechanism when she was scared, chatting away about her ex Matthew and how she still loves him. Lizzie could not care less, the guy was a dick. Their one-sided conversation was interrupted by a loud cawing sound, too close for comfort. They looked around and all they could see was a few feet down the dirt track in front of them and then just trees. The woods around this lake could go on for miles. It was a haven for all kinds of wildlife. But there was something about that sound that didn't seem quite right. Lizzie strolled slightly ahead of Brittany, losing her footing on an exposed root and nearly falling over. She regained her composure and looking up to the woods beside her. There, perched on a tree, was a silhouette of a strange-looking shape. Bird-shaped, no doubt, but not quite right. Unfortunately, that wasn't the strangest thing, though. It was its eyes. Glowing red eyes staring right back at her. There was a loud call, and the eyes vanished.
Did you see that?
What, you falling on your ass? Yeah, it was hilarious, Britt chuckled back to her. No, you idiot, the bird, in the trees there. Lizzie pointed a finger to a branch it was perched on mere moments before. It's a bird, Liz. It's not going to hurt you, is it? She stood there for a moment, letting the words settle in. Of course it wasn't going to hurt her. It was just a bird. Just a bird. Just a bird. They carried on walking and reached the final bend before the parking lot, where the pizza boy was meant to be waiting. A thick fog began to haze the path in front of them, almost developing before their very eyes. Unfazed, they continued walking past the bend and arriving at the... A hand reached Britt's shoulder, grabbing her and holding her fiercely. This isn't the parking lot. What are you on about? Britt looked up from her phone and realized it was indeed not the parking lot, but the cabin they had just left.
What the fuck? How?
I don't know. This track is the only way out. We followed it down. I don't understand. Maybe Britt's mind was ticking over, trying to rationalize what was happening. It was a mystery, unnatural, supernatural, all at once, happening before their own eyes. Maybe when you fell, it was so dark we changed direction and didn't even realize. The excuse was good enough for them. That was the only rational explanation after all. They carried on down the dirt path again, this time almost at a jogging pace. Yeah, it happened again, and again, and again. Until it ended up with a quick sprint turning down the final bend in the mist, and the two girls tripping over the stairs into the front of the cabin. What the fuck, Lizzie? What is going on? I'm scared. Let's just go inside, please. Fuck this pizza. Yeah, let's go. The two girls linked arms and ran inside the cabin, turning on all the lights and sinking into the couch in the corner of the room. Have you got the maps on your phone? I've got no service. Lizzie asked her between breaths. Britt fumbled around in her jacket pocket, pulling out her phone and checking. It's dead. What? How is it dead? It's been on charge since we've been here. Well, I don't fucking know, do I? But look. Britt threw the phone over in her direction. Lizzie reached out in a snap, catching it and holding it out in front of her face. The screen was black. The power button was unresponsive. But there was something else. She looked carefully, and a strange light emitted from the center of the screen. As she put the phone nearer her face, she realized what it was and screamed. Dropping the phone to the ground, causing the screen to shatter. Those eyes, oh my god, those eyes. The girls sat in an uncomfortably long silence, staring down at the smashed phone on the wooden floorboard. Lizzie was close to hyperventilating. Brittany jumped over to by her side and hugged her softly, helping her to catch her breath. What eyes? What did you see? They were the eyes the same as the ones I saw in the woods. Right after I tripped, I thought it was nothing, but now, again, how could I see them in your phone? Then something clicked in her mind, and it began to make a bit more sense to her. She jumped up to her feet and ran towards the window. It must have been a reflection from those screens. The eyes must have been outside again. It was that fucking bird, she thought to herself, following her. Looking out of the window, she couldn't see anything. The windows overlooked the back towards the lake. She couldn't make out any light source, let alone any glowing red eyes. Lizzie, you're freaking me out now. What eyes? There's nothing there. No, you just didn't see it. I know what I saw. Liz, come on, calm down. She went to the kitchen and poured a drink into a small wine glass and placed it in her hands. Trembling Lizzie took a sip, feeling the warmth engulf her throat, taking the load off for a second. That night, the girls barely slept. They shared a bed, and any noise that occurred outside made them bolt upright. And each time they fell asleep, another animal call would emerge from the distance. Morning finally came, and they welcomed the warm glow, lighting up the inside of the cabin. Lizzie was up first as she barely slept. She left Britt in bed, feeling bad for waking up constantly through the night. She walked over to the kitchen and flicked on the coffee machine, making a fresh brew. The sweet scent filling her nose. It was calming. It made her forget where she was. Out here in the wilderness, miles away from anyone. She leant on the kitchen island, watching the coffee brew dripping in and out of consciousness. A vision of her as a child snapped in front of her, laughing and playing by the lake. She was skimming stones with another girl, Britt. They must have been around 5. The next image took over. A fleeting glimpse of a bird's nest trashed, young chicks screeching out, just emerging from their eggs. Next, a pool of blood. So much blood. She looked down at her hands. They were covered in blood too. A call interrupted the vision, and she snapped back to consciousness to the sound of the coffee pot steaming. Britt stumbled out of the bedroom half asleep and into the kitchen. Her pink pajamas flowed loosely on her shapely figure. Her black hair was tied up in a messy bun, and locks of hair hung loose down her face. "You look like shit. Well, good morning to you too." Lizzie poured her a cup of coffee and slid it across the island, almost directly into her hands. "How are you feeling?" Brittany stared at her with the bitchiest face she could muster. "Well, shit, considering you jumped up all night every 10 minutes. "Yeah, sorry about that. I found it really hard to sleep after everything that happened, you know." She sighed deeply. "Yeah, I know." They sat in the kitchen in silence for a while, sipping on their piping hot coffees and refilling. That vision was playing on Lizzie's mind. What was that? How did she see herself? If it was a memory, what was all that blood from? The questions that ran through her mind were mentally exhausting. "I'm going to go jump in the shower," Britt interrupted. "Okay, just make sure you run the hot water for a while before you get in. It takes a while to heat up." "Yeah, sure." Lizzie sat on the couch, looking out the window to the lake, watching the small waves flow on the surface. All she had were thoughts of her vision running through her mind. She tried to piece them together, but with no luck. She couldn't make sense of any of it. Her vision began to blur, and a throbbing ached in her temples. She felt nauseous and ran over to the sink, just in case she felt the need to throw up. Lizzie rubbed her eyes and face and splashed some ice-cold water at them, trying to shock her body back to life. It helped. The migraine was gone, and she could see straight once more. "What is going on with me?" she muttered to herself, watching the remains of the water swirl down the sink. The shower had been off for a while now, but Britt had still yet to appear. Lizzie was intrigued as to what she was doing, as she was usually such a brisk showerer. "Britt, you good?" Lizzie bellowed out from the living room. No response. She repeated herself. Again, nothing, once more. Yet the shower was off. She could definitely hear that. She could see the light was on and there was steam escaping from underneath the door. Lizzie felt panicked and banged on the door, thumping it with the flat of her fist, thinking maybe the worst had potentially happened. Panic really began to flow through her mind now. Her heart rate quickened and her pupils narrowed with focus. She ran to the kitchen to see if she could find anything to prise open the door. Unsurprisingly, for a cabin in the middle of the woods, there was a dangerous lack of tools. The best thing she could find was an old hunting knife mounted on the wall. The knife's sharp point wouldn't do, when it looked like it had a strong grip to it. With any luck, it might be enough to smash the doorknob off so she could twist the lock. She thrust the handle with all her might to the doorknob, hoping it would be enough to shatter it or potentially snap it off. Yet no luck. The handle simply ricocheted off the copper surface. "Stand back, Britt. I'm going to try and kick it in." Still, there was no response. Lizzie took a short run up in the hallway and charged at the door shoulder first. But she flew through the bathroom door as it swung open before she even impacted it. Lizzie came crashing into the toilet, hitting her head on the bowl. Realization settled in after the throbbing dulled. She gained her focus once more and looked to the figure standing in the middle of the bathroom in front of her. It was Britt, but something wasn't right. Those eyes, again, bright, deep red. This time it had taken over Britt's eyes, but that wasn't even the worst of it. Her wet black hair hung down her body and it looked like feathers. Twisted, entwined black feathers. And her nails were, they were fierce, thick, long talons now. Lizzie couldn't help holding her fear. She was panicking, shaking as this creature, this thing that was once Britt, stood there perfectly still just looking down at her. A glistening in the corner of her vision caught her eye. The knife she had dropped. She tried to look, though not making it obvious. If she planned this right, hopefully she could grab the knife and take down the creature with it in one smooth sweep. Britt's face, the creature's face shifted. It tilted their head to the side, almost as an expression of confusion. Her face was even morphing now. Bones were making a weird cracking and crunching sound. Her skin stretching as a beak began to rupture on her face. This was it, the moment to strike. Lizzie rolled quickly into the path of the knife, picking it up and underhand charging into the creature's stomach. The creature grabbed her hands just as the knife penetrated. There was another god-awful core sound, and Lizzie was spun around and thrown out of the bathroom into the cabin's hallway wall. The back of her head smashed against the wooden paneling of the cabin. A dark vignette appeared around her vision. All that remained in the center of her vision were those two red eyes once more. She awoke to her name being called over and over and the shaking of her torso. Slowly but surely, Lizzie regained consciousness, still on the floor. Her eyes focused on the black mass in front of her. It was Britt. Her hair was back to normal. Her bones reformed back into her beautifully smooth face. She knelt there just in front of Lizzie on the floor, wrapped in a towel, a red stain covering her stomach and slowly expanding. Britt slapped Lizzie's face softly, trying to get her to snap back to reality. "Lizzie, what the fuck were you doing? You could have killed me." She muttered, looking for the correct words to say, yet there weren't any. You weren't answering. I was worried. I tried to come in. "No, I opened the door and you started freaking out, waving a knife. You even fucking charged me. Look at this shit." She pointed down to her stomach area. There was now a red smear over the towel. "Look at this. It looks like I've had a botched C-section or some shit." Lizzie's voice was raspy, but she managed to spit out a few words. "That's not what happened. I tried to break in to help you. You weren't there. Just this thing. The thing with red eyes." "There is no thing with red eyes," Britt screamed uncontrollably. "You're going fucking mad, Liz. The first time, fair enough. Second time you smashed my phone. Now this, you nearly fucking killed me. I'm packing up my shit and we're going." Her face was red and flustered, and tears began to form at the corner of her eyes. "You can't leave, Britt. We tried last night, remember? To meet the pizza guy. We kept looping back around to this cabin, remember? We can't leave this place. Are you fucking high? We both met the pizza guy last night. Jesus, the box is even on the side." Lizzie scanned over into the kitchen, and there indeed, planted on the middle of the island, was a pizza box. That is as far as I've got for now, but I am liking where it's going. I've got a few ideas and a few little twists and turns coming. But I think the story itself will turn out to be quite fun. I'm having a lot of fun in writing it. In between the TikToks and Reels. I kind of get a little inspiration here and then for like a TikTok idea. So I kind of minimize that, do a little script for the TikToks and pop back. So it's been a bit slower than usual, but it's getting there. I hope you guys enjoyed it anyway. But keeping on the theme of scary lake house stories, I have found another few stories as well. So this one's called "I Found Something in the Camp Lake 20 Years Ago." And the source is creepybastard.fandom.com, as fucking always. "It's been 20 years since I worked as a counsellor at Camp Valleyway. 20 years that I've tried to forget what I've seen, lying to myself and others about what I knew happened. and for many of those years I succeeded in fooling myself, pushing the dark thoughts into a hidden place in my mind. But after reading the newspaper today, I can lie no longer. So let me begin my story. I started work when I was 15, spending my summers away at Camp Valleyway. The camp was nestled in the foothills of the Appalachians, cupped in a valley between two mountains with a natural lake at the centre. Its waters stained murky with southern clay. I worked as a swim instructor, and each week a new set of campers travelled from across the state to experience the outdoors. I still remember the exact day it happened, Tuesday, fifth week of camp, the hottest day of that summer just before the 4th of July. That week was known as Rich Week to the counsellors, since many of the wealthier parents took off for holiday and left their children behind. It came right after Orphan Week, which was when the Clarkstown Orphanage, largest in the state, travelled to the camp free of charge because the camp was government owned. Yearly, the local residents came by at the end of the week and children were often adopted. Just last week, a girl in my class found a new home with some farmers a few miles out, and I remember seeing Ellie wave from the cab of the pickup truck as she started her new life out in the country. As a swim instructor in my off time, I helped the sail instructors patch sails under the water sports canopy. Logan, the head of water sports, and about 5 years older than me, sat across on the picnic tables, his eyes small looking over the lake. Logan kept his hair in a tight buzz cut, revealing a deep scar around the back of his head, and when he spoke, it was in a deep drawl. "Mike, watch what you're doing," he growled, noticing I'd skipped a stitch. "I only got two eyes, and there's too much going on for me to watch everyone today." "Got it," I said, and put my head down. Logan kept a tight watch on his crew, but now his focus was on the lake. Ed and Ted, the two twin counsellors, with one brain cell between them, were teaching a beginner's swimming class. Ed and Ted always made Logan uneasy, and had earned a spot first and second on his mental list of instructors who are most likely to screw up next. So when Ed, the smarter of the two, came sprinting up from the lakeside so fast that his legs spewed a dirt exhaust behind him, Logan was ready. Ed opened his mouth, words wheezing in between each intake breath, and his wet hair plastered over one eye. We're missing one camper. I can't find him in the water. Friends don't know where he is." Without hesitation, Logan's whistle shrieked through the campground, startling campers and counselors alike. "Out of the water, everyone, all lifeguards to the dock," he shouted, his deep chest working hard like a bellow, and adrenaline shot through me as we ran to the water. As a lifeguard, it was our responsibility to search for the body, and 15 of us lined up in one end of the swimming section. At Logan's call, we dove, myself in the deep end at 14 feet, spread out across the bottom. The water filtered the sunlight and heat, so the bottom was cold and dark. With the underwater plants that gripped against my calves and pulled me back as I swam, after three strokes, I returned to the surface, and Logan sent us back down again to search, hoping to find a still, warm form. I was the one who found the body, its hand brushed against my face, a pale palm that was all too white. I saw the face next, too dark to recognize, but a girl, with long hair that fawned around her like she was under static electricity. I gasped, involuntarily drawing in water to my lungs, gripped her torso and began swimming to the surface. She felt swollen, her arms too big, and her temperature was a cold I will never forget. Halfway to the surface, I felt her leg catch on something, and she was pulled down out of my grip. I turned, watching her open eyes on mine as she descended, but my lungs screamed. I knew I needed air, or I would join her down below for much longer than intended. "I found her," I shouted, breaking the surface. "Quick!" And I dove back down, my hands sweeping through the muddy bottom. But I found nothing but muck and empty water, even as the other lifeguards joined. 5 minutes later, Logan's whistle rang out again, calling us to the dock. "The camper has been found," he announced, "in a restroom by his sight. Ed and Ted must have let him slip past them, and both of them will spend the night scrubbing the dock with their own toothbrushes." He paused, and I felt the other lifeguard's gaze fall on me. "You're all free to go, except for Mike.
I want a word. The others trudged away, looking back at us over their shoulder. Logan focused on me, spittle meshing with his words as he hissed. I don't know what the hell that was about, Mike, but you could have cost a life with your false cool back there. And next time you try something like this, I'll be taking yours. But I saw something, I insisted. I don't believe in ghosts, Mike, and we scoured that water. Get out of my sight, you're off waterfront. He left and word spread about the camp and what happened. I could tell many of them detested me, and no one believed what had happened. So I quit the next week and pushed the thought from my mind, though it still found my dreams. That was about 20 years ago, and today I hold the newspaper, the top article calling back many memories. Murders at Camp Valleyway. 19 skeletons have been discovered in the lake of Camp Valleyway, several aged over 30 years since the time of death, and none younger than 10. Due to the renovations, the lake was drained, revealing a collection of bones at the deepest region. Several femurs were found attached to anchors with rope, and after much investigation, the state police discovered the source of the bodies. 10 years ago, before Clarkstown Orphanage was shut down for embezzling state funds, each summer their orphans spent a week at the camp. 19 were thought to be adopted by locals in the nearby proximity to the camp, but after reviewing records, police have discovered these adoptions were never documented. All 19 were drowned and disposed of in the lake, at an area too deep for the campers to normally enter, except for one that drifted near the swimming area due to an insecure rope. It is believed the orphanage collected funds appropriated for these children long after their death. Police encouraged anyone with information on the matter to step forward. Right, next story is the Lakeside Demon. This source is creepypasta.fandom.com. Jason loved rebelling. Fuck. Jason loved rebelling against what was expected of him. It gave him the most exhilarating of feelings to cross authority and win. He wanted to take it to a new level, however. And the only way he could do that was to go against the town's biggest rule. Don't visit the lakeside at night. Jason didn't know why he wasn't supposed to go to the lakeside. He imagined it was some ridiculous superstition that wasn't backed by any legitimate reason. It wasn't talked about, and they hadn't tried to fix the problem that prevented them from going down there. Jason decided tonight he would go down there and find out what all the noise was about. His parents were ignorant, and he didn't care much for them. He did a long time ago, but the two parties had fallen out. His entrance into the house, without a greeting from either parent, was evident enough. Jason had gotten over caring about this, however. They were holding him down anyway. He wouldn't be controlled by authority. When his parents eventually had gone to sleep, the time was nigh for him to leave. He put on a black jacket and dark pants, so that he could be as inconspicuous as possible. With him, he brought a flashlight and a knife, just in case there was something out there that was worth worrying about. Sneaking outside as quietly as possible, he took the route through the woods that led him to the lakeside. There was a fog, but it wasn't thick enough to be deterrent. After about 10 minutes of walking, Jason was at the lakeside. He paused for a moment and reveled in the glory of him, once again outsmarting those who called themselves his superiors. At this moment in time, he was their superior and could not be beaten. This was the best it would get, and he wanted to enjoy it for as long as he could. Feeling immortal, he went closer to the lake and looked over into the water. He couldn't see much with it being night, so he took out his flashlight and lit it on the surface of the water. It was murky and not much to look at, but he kept the light on anyway. He didn't want to miss anything of possible interest. Right before he was about to leave, he flashed the surface of the water again and saw a black straw hat floating towards him. He thought it was strange considering the water appeared still to him, but the murkiness of it might be hiding a slight current. He waited for the hat to bump onto the shoreline and picked it up. The bottom was a little muddy and wet, but that was to be expected. He inspected it closer with his flashlight, and there were a couple of finger-sized holes in it. Since it was straw, he paid no attention to it. He put the hat on and turned around to walk away. As he started to head back, a sudden splash from behind him made him jump and turn around. He thought he had seen a black shape coming out of the water, but his newly acquired hat fell and blocked his vision. Pushing it back in place, he was then face to face with a grotesque creature. Fear petrified him and he dropped his flashlight. The creature's skin was grey and it had pointed teeth randomly dispersed in its mouth. Soaked from the lake water, its long black hair smelled unbearably awful. Its arms were muscular and its hands were webbed. Its face, though, was what horrified Jason the most. Its eyes were pure black, its nose sunken into its face almost completely, and it had gashes going in a diagonal direction from its left temple to its right cheek. Jason thought he might die. He never in his whole existence saw anything like this. He refused to die like this. He reached for his knife. The creature reacted faster than he thought possible, grabbing Jason's wrist with a slimy, webbed hand. It smirked. It squeezed hard, breaking Jason's wrist. Jason yelled out in agony as tears dripped down his face. The creature's mouth contorted into the most wicked grin he had ever seen. It used its nails to cut a gash across Jason's face, exactly like the creature had. Jason, now in agonizing pain, fell to the ground. "You will submit all of yourself. You will know nothing but obedience. You and then your people," it hissed. More of the same creatures started to come out of the water, all wearing those cursed black straw hats. They surrounded him, hovering and emaciating malice. Panic rushed through his mind as he realized the last thing he would do in his life was submit to these creatures. He was powerless. Everyone would be powerless. The feeling of failure was the last thing he knew before they were upon him. Well, shit, that was a pretty good story. I kind of enjoyed that. They were a lot shorter than the one I did. I don't know. Do you guys enjoy the shorter stories or the longer kind of stories? It's hard to get a nice little balance. I'm trying to find like the right kind of sweet spot. But do let me know. Yeah, I enjoyed both those stories. They were good. And I will definitely carry on writing mine. I hope you guys have had a good week. And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the podcast. Follow us on the socials. We are That Haunted Show, anywhere you can think of. And also, more importantly, don't forget to follow the YouTube, because we will be doing the YouTube lives. So subscribe, ring the bell, do whatever those YouTube fucking videos say. And I will see you over there. So, as always, stay safe, stay spooky, and good night.